I was studying a book, still studying it, and it caused me to read Ezekiel 9, which is a prophetic vision of six angels being dispatched to Jerusalem, and one of the angels was a man clothed in linen, and it's harsh what happened, but God dispatched these angels to slay everyone in Jerusalem that was filled with abomination. But the man of linen had a scribe's writing tablet on his side, and he was putting what the most Bibles translate as mark, but actually if it was translated properly, it would be the Hebrew word ta, which is what we know as a T, it's a cross. So in the Old Testament, a vision is given. It's a lot like our the cross of ashes that we receive on Ash Wednesday. And we're all the way from Ash Wednesday in this great journey to Pentecost. And that was what I was seeing as Father Mark asked us to contemplate, was our Savior coming up to me and putting the cross on my forehead to protect me. And I'm just so thankful today that I understand that about him, that he's been protecting us forever.
Amen.
This is very simple, but as I began to contemplate him, he said, I'm looking back at you. I'm looking back. I'm looking at you too.
I have a seat. Everybody in their house has a seat that they sit in. That's their seat, and they're comfortable in it. And Cara knows my seat. Around my seat are bags and boxes of stuff that I have surrounded myself with. And every day I say, I'm going to get rid of a bag. I'm going to get rid of a box. And every day I don't do it. Cara knows that I took a bag and I went through it and I started to shred it. And I have a bag to go out in the recycle. And it was very freeing because some of that stuff was Alicia's and some of that stuff was Larry's. And I said, I don't need this now. I don't need this anymore. And God said, there are people in the church who have surrounded their stuff with stuff that they don't need anymore. And he's telling you to shred it, to throw it away, to let it go. It served its purpose. And when you do that, you will be free.
During that song, I was just seeing a picture of Jesus' first miracle when he asked the servants to fill the jars full of water, and he filled 20 of them. The servants filled all 20 of them to the brim, and they filled them up to the brim. And I just saw that Jesus is saying, open up your hearts. I want to fill you to the brim. I want to clothe you with my spirit. I'm here. Just open your hearts.
Amen.
And I want to fill you for him.
Glory to God.
This is not a sad testimony. Well, God says, breathe life into your bones. Wake up. We're serving an awesome God.
Amen.
We should be praising him, singing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. He's opening his arms. All right. And he wants you to come in.
Amen.
going to do this, but the Lord just kept saying, you better. We're going to go just a little bit longer. Excuse me. This word is for at least one person in this room, maybe more. The Lord made it really clear today that there is a person or people who have only ever heard a critical voice. Mm-hmm. And that voice started outside, and it made its way inside, and it has become synonymous with your own voice. And the Lord has said, today, amen, I would like to bring my Holy Spirit between you and that voice, externally and internally. Amen. And he's also said, because of that voice of criticism, you have put things in place that were designed to insulate you or dissipate the pain and the shame that came from that critical voice. Things that you have put in place and tried to use over and over to protect yourself from that critical voice, but they haven't worked. They've only made it worse. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to destroy the things that are destroying you that come from that critical voice. So if that's for you, let the Holy Spirit come between you and that voice. And you know what voice you're going to hear from him. He will take away that voice and all of the things that you've put in place about that voice.
Father Don, would you feel comfortable just praying a prayer for that right now? Is this still okay?
Lord, we all declare over this word, wherever it's supposed to go in each person or people in this room, we declare this word to be the word of the Lord. We declare authority over it. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would prevent any inhibition in any of us who need to receive this word, that you would get anything out of the way, and that this word would go straight into our hearts, and the Holy Spirit, you would take up residence in that place between the voice of criticism and all that it has done, and your voice, and all that you will do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
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 When I come up and I looked at the door and I saw the color, this represents the fire of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is falling down. And it's here today. This is a natural, to show you naturally, let you see with your natural eyes, but this is what's happening in here today. It's raining. Do you want to get in under the rain? The Holy Spirit is here. He's here. He's here. I mean, he's here. He's here. He's been here all the while, but he's here. It's a whole different... In fact, Ben, if it's okay with you, can I just, we need to come up and come around here.
It's okay, we'll see that later.
Can I? No. Sir?
Go ahead.
And we sit and stay. Look, what's wrong with coming?
Thank you.
The Father loves this. The Holy Spirit loves this. These times when we open our doors wide and we let Him blow through just wherever He wants, however He wants. And we do this as much as we're able. He's aware that there are times when we shut the doors and we may not even realize we're doing it. And He is asking for permission to keep those doors open more and more, that He has the freedom to flow and to move in your life in other places, in other ways, maybe ways that you don't even realize you've shut the door in that area. And His goal is eventually to remove the pins from the doors, that you would be wide open all the time.
Everyone here, primarily the younger members of our congregation, you may have been wondering about these charismatic things and what it all means, and wanting to move in the charismatic giftings, but you don't understand everything. You don't understand it all, and you may have been searching to try to find more knowledge or things that click, make it click with you. But I believe God is really just saying, you have everything you need. I believe the Lord is saying to trust God, because especially if you've been baptized and if you've had the sacrament of confirmation, the Lord gave you everything you need at your baptism as far as the charismatic giftings go. And so now it's time to stop looking for that missing link, or looking for approval in the eyes of others, and just to trust God with what He's put on your heart. Just trust God and step out. Step out in faith, and whether it looks silly or foolish, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. So trust the Lord. Thank you.
don't take the Holy Spirit for granted. Don't take Jesus for granted. Because there are lots of people and places that he's not there. And I was at a Unitarian church yesterday at a friend's thing. And it was a lot of people who were looking for love, looking for acceptance, wanting fellowship, but it was so empty. Because they didn't look to God, they didn't look to somebody else, they looked to each other. And trying to have that freedom and peace and love without Jesus was futile. And they've just taken a substitute. But it's not the real thing. And it's broken my heart. You know, that people are trying to take a substitute that's not the real thing. And so, for us, we need to not take for granted. We have to know that.
Putting on my heart, just some of what everybody said. It's about freedom. And sometimes you think freedom is an ugly word. You know, freedom means without any rules, without any laws. But freedom means that you are free to love God. And you're free to go to him. You know, he doesn't, you know, you're free to just, as Mama Rose says, sit in that chair. It's got your name on it. You are free to have that barrier removed from you that was criticism. You're free to get rid of those bags that hold you back and keep you progressing, but progressing forward. There is such freedom in our love for him. And it is freedom. There's such freedom there. And God just goes through, like, you know how you cancel things out, you mark them off the sheet with an X or draw a line through it. He just draws lines through all of our junk, all of our stuff, all of our past, all of our shame, all of our regret. He just draws a line through that. And he gives us many, many, many do-overs. We get so many do-overs. What freedom that is. And what love it is for us. Such freedom.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
I have a couple of confessions to make before have Stacy and Karen share a little bit. We wanted to talk a little bit about the experience in Africa, but I was thinking this morning, in light of everything that's already happened today, about sharing a little bit about that. I was thinking when we were driving over here, I remember as a kid in elementary school and then in early junior high, we would go over to grandfather's house periodically and have dinner. And his wife wasn't my grandmother in that sense because I never knew her. She had died before I was born. And so, but we would go over there and have this dinner. I don't even know why I told you that part, but we'd go over there and have this dinner. And then we would go downstairs and watch slides. And so for those of you who are older, if you remember the pictures on slides on the carousel, and it would show up and they would talk about, well, this is when we were here or this is where we were there, and I would thinking, who cares? I was thinking, you know, can I go outside and play? You know? So I was thinking about that whole notion of sharing stuff about that goes on that somebody else has experienced, and I realize that my hope and anyone's hope who shares that stuff is it goes into some place in all of our hearts that awakens something. So that's the purpose of that. It's not like what I did on my summer vacation, but it more is trying to connect with who we are, because having the opportunity to go over there, I'm so aware, and everyone else is that we take everybody with us. And so everybody shares in that. The second thing I wanted to say was, Bobby, because I want to confess this publicly, I really like you. No. I want to apologize to you. Because I was sitting here and you were talking about people coming up around that. And I was thinking, I don't know if we can do that because that's not what we normally do. You know? And I was immediately caught into that moment as to, that's not how things always go. You know? And just that recognition of the number of times in my life I have prayed, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, just take charge. Holy Spirit, lead and flow what it is that you want to do. And I like doing that when I'm in control. But when someone else can say, come up and do that. And I think she had me when she said, sir, can I, you know. And it was that recognition of authority, you know, that it's kind of like, okay, you know, I can share that. But, because that was really important to do. Very, very important to do, Bobby. Thank you. Thank you for stepping out in faith and recognizing that we can get used to doing things in a certain way. And we become very familiar with it, and that's the way it's supposed to flow. And when it disrupts, especially as one who is ordained in holy orders to keep things going, you know, smoothly and all that, it's like, how's all this going to fit? I remember years ago when I was at a student center, I would be standing in the back, and some of the individuals who would be in part of the recessional team and all that, and they say, well, Father, what are we going to do here, do there? And I say, I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. See, I was very comfortable with that. So it's interesting having that experience, and then right here at this moment, it's like, and part of that can be, how's everybody going to respond and all of that? The subtlety of our control. The subtlety of wanting to be whatever makes up that image as to sometimes we're trying to live up to or live into. So I really want to thank you for that. Just don't do it again. The other thing in regards to the confession, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but I can't tell you how much Father Don's word was for me personally. And I don't know if it was for anybody else. But when I heard him say, and there's a critical voice out there that you have become so familiar with, and now it's on the inside, and the Lord wants to sever that. And I'm not trying to neatly segue into the scriptures, but when you consider the fact that that second reading, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And remember, that's inclusive, sons, daughters. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That was that prayer. That was that prayer that says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit as to who we are. We're children of God. And when there's that critical voice that we can identify with, sometimes it can even be called a familiar spirit. And when I was in Africa, I asked an individual who works in deliverance ministry, I said, what's a familiar spirit? I said, I've heard that and I've even used that term. Can you give me your definition of a familiar spirit? And she said, well, it's a spirit that knows you and knows how to push your buttons. And because that spirit knows how to push your button, you can get caught into that. 2 years ago, remember you discerning about a familiarity going on? And all of a sudden, we can have experiences like this prayer, and there can be pieces of a puzzle, and there can be this revelation to go, that's what it is. It's like we get part of it. And so when he prayed that prayer, I thought, man. I shared last week about the fact that one of the things I have been aware of in my own life is that fear of abandonment. And that little critical voice out there that can come in and you can identify as your own and recognize the Lord wants to continue to sever that more and more. Because remember, conversion is an ongoing process. It takes us deeper and deeper and deeper. And I've shared this with you many times about St. Augustine's comment about our whole life as God is expanding our will to contain the infinite. So there was a couple of other connections when he said that, when I was thinking of other voices, and I thought, man, what an insight, what a prayer. So as I said, I don't know if that spoke to anybody else, but it certainly spoke to me. I wanted to read this thing to you real quick. This is part of what's called the Eucharistic canon. So whenever I used to hear that term canon, I would think of a cannon, you know, but it's only got two ends instead of three ends. And so it's a specific kind of a prayer that goes in the midst of that. And so what's called the preface or the Eucharistic canon comes in between bookends. The one bookend is the Sursum Corda. The other bookend is the Sanctus. So the Sursum Corda goes like this. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Then you do the Eucharistic canon. And with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven in their unending hymn of praise, together we sing, holy, holy, holy. So you've got these bookends, and inside that bookend is the canon. So I want you to hear the canon for today. Father, all-powerful and ever-living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. Today, you sent the Holy Spirit on those marked out to be your children by sharing the life of your Son. And so you brought the Paschal mystery to completion. Today, we celebrate the great beginning of your church, when the Holy Spirit made known to all peoples the one true God and created from the many languages of man one voice to profess one faith. Today, you poured out the gifts of tongues and prophecy and filled your church with the blessings of the Spirit that we might continue to preach, teach, heal, cast out demons, and proclaim the good news of your kingdom. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, patriarchs and prophets, apostles, martyrs, and the whole company of heaven in their unending hymn of praise. Isn't that amazing? That's the canon for today. That's what we celebrate today, the fact that that's the commissioning, the witness that all of us enter into within, if you like, the bookends of the Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts, even if it's difficult to lift up your heart. And then that other, holy, 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 and we join with angels and archangels singing that constantly. And so the other part of that prayer of Father Don's was that image, Teresa, that you had. You know, you think about that, about, you know, what'd you call that? Shredding all of that stuff. And Jennifer, what you said about the whole stuff of laying stuff down. And your word as well, Rick. It's just amazing. You know, what the Lord wants to do. So, to share a little bit about Africa, Stace, could you just share a little bit what you were going to share? And then... And I can do a confession for Stacy too. She's coming over this morning and she says, I hate doing this stuff.
Karen, I told him I could go last, and he said, Karen already told me she's going last.
And Stacy went,
So I am really out of my comfort zone here. And as we were, well, even as I got up this morning and been kind of praying about what to share and how to share it and thinking of all that, I'm probably going to go down a whole bunch of rabbit trails that aren't going to make, hopefully they'll tie together like Mark can do. But I love being over in Africa. And as we were talking about it the other night, one of the things that I love about being over there is that I feel that when I'm over there, I don't have a label put on me. Now, maybe I do, and I don't know it, but I don't feel like I do. I also feel like I don't have a label for anybody else that I'm around. I don't know them. I don't know their story. I've had interpreters, but a lot of times the interpreters, their translations aren't that great. And so anyway, I'm just, I just feel like there's that freedom. Being over there, being who I am, I can be myself, and they can be who they are. And one of my favorite scripture passages is from Ephesians, that we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And it's... for me, thinking about all the things that the Lord's created for us that we just have to step into. And there is an action that we have to do. We have to take part and step into that. But he's already prepared it for us, prepared the good works that we should just, that we could just step into that. And as, and I kind of shared before, I think last time, when the first trip came up about going, I was just thinking, I'm not... prophetic, all these things that I don't bring to the team. Here are this big teams going over there and all these wonderful things that happen. And I really felt that the Lord had told me, just go and love. All you have to do is love. You can love, and that's what you're going with. And on this trip, I just feel like that was confirmed over and over and over. And I know that for all of us, we all have different gifts. And the Lord just confirmed that, I think, for each and every person that was on the team, just how things happened. And so one of the amazing things that, of the many, many, many amazing things that happened, but there was a 14-year-old girl who was at Bishop Gogo's house waiting for prayer with her mom and her baby. And her baby was, under a year. And she had been raped. And she was traumatized. She could not take care of her child. And she and her mom and baby were waiting there for this team to come and pray. And a lot of people had already left because we were delayed in getting there. Anyway, they were there, and we had the privilege to pray for them, and we had received an email back from Bishop Gogo and his wife that she was doing great now, and she was taking care of her baby, and she was entering into, she'd been healed, and just how that, the Lord knew all that, you know. He had planned that, and just that we were able to step into that. And one of the other stories that I feel for myself was one of the ladies that worked at a hotel. Her name's Helen, and I'm still keeping in touch with her. And when I walked in, she just came up and gave me a hug, and she said, "I just needed to come up and feel love. And I told her after, that was more for me than for you. You didn't know, but that had been my prayer. And so, anyway, it was just amazing how the Lord met each one of us where we were. And probably the last thing would be one of my interpreters for the time we were in Rentobo was Sunday Luke. And he was great. He was just absolutely fantastic. I think we had a little bit of, there's more disconnect on my part, understanding what he was saying in some of the translation. But at one point, we were all on the stage. Bishop had called us up to give words of knowledge. And I felt that there was going to be healing for knees. And so then as we're in the tent area and praying for people, and he was my interpreter, after a while he said, "Do you know we're praying for lots of knees?" And after and talking about it, it was realizing, at least I think for Mark and I had so many people that came up for prayers for knees, but there was someone at the door, so they were directing people. It wasn't like people that were in the crowd just knew that I had that word and came up to me. It was that there was someone at the door that was directing people, and the Lord had just orchestrated so that those people that needed that healing were directed to me. People for, I think, necks went to Mark. So in just reflecting about the whole thing, I think going back to having labels, and for all of us, we've been given labels. Labels have put on us, going back to your word, Father Don, and then Teresa, just the stuff that we all have around us that we've been given it. Some of it we haven't even wanted to take, but it's just kind of been dumped on us. And knowing what our identity is in Christ, I don't know if everybody that came up for prayer for healing in their knees, I don't know if they were healed, but I know that my prayer for every single person that came up to me was always that they would have such a revelation of how loved they were, and that they would know what their identity was in Christ. And I just feel like the Lord answered a lot of those prayers. So that was my experience. I would encourage everybody, if you haven't been, I know that we had shared at another time when we were down in Selma, and I was listening to how people were sharing, and I was thinking, that was not my experience at all. I did not have any of those same experiences. And so I just encourage everybody, if you ever have a dream and you want to go, to just really pray about it and not go because you've heard what somebody else has said, because again, the Lord knows exactly what it is that each one of us needs, and so I would just encourage you to step out and go.
Great, thanks, yeah. Dace.
Thanks, Stacy.
Yeah, most of y'all know I normally I'd be like Stacy, going, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get up in front of people. But this trip, I had so many stories, and so much that I saw God do. I've had so many times when I've gone and other people have told stories, I'm like, all right, I'm not saying anything because that did not happen to me. I'm just keep quiet and they'll just not know. You know, even foolish people that are quiet look wise. So, but there were tons and tons of stories that happened. It was really quite an amazing trip. The Lord really ratcheted things up to another level, I think, for all of us, including Bishop. Bishop came back, and he can remember the five people he prayed for that did not get healed in 2 weeks. Pretty much everyone else got healed that he prayed for. So that was a new level for him. And the thing, this is Pentecost Sunday, and I don't know your reasoning why you wanted us to share on Pentecost Sunday, but as I was sitting here, I was realizing that we had the miracle of Pentecost literally replayed on our trip, literally, in that when we were calling out words of knowledge to about 2,000 or more people that are standing in the middle of the field saying, I need to be healed, we began to pray over them in tongues, and Bishop had the microphone, so he's the one that they could hear. And in that area, those people don't like to speak Swahili because Idi Amin soldiers came in and they spoke Swahili, so they refused to speak Swahili. But the translations were in English and Swahili for the conference. So they were limited in their understanding. But as Bishop began to pray, we were told later that four times in a row he prayed in their native language, and they heard him say, "God, heal these people." And they heard it in their own language. They heard the good news that day in their own language, just like at Pentecost, which was absolutely amazing. But just to tell you the level of what we were walking in a Pentecost experience for those 2 weeks. And that was just confirmation to us. There were other types of miracles other than healing, other things that took place. Lots of stories that I could tell, and just trying to think of which ones the Lord wanted shared today. There are a couple things, I think, for me, related to Pentecost and freedom and the good news and the things that have been spoken today, the things that touched my heart during this conference. I was excited the first day I prayed for people at the conference. Everyone that had pain, that they could feel at that point, their pain was gone, literally. Every single person. And that was a new experience for me. And as exciting as that was, the ones I remember were, there was a girl who had had a miscarriage, and she was asking for prayer. And so we prayed for her. But then my translator, who was Bishop Hannington, found out through talking to her that she was not saved. So I let him pray with her because it was easier. So he prayed and she got saved. And in the process, he found out that she had been told that she would never carry a baby to term unless she worshiped the evil spirits. Literally witchcraft. So she was scared in that process. And I said, "Can we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues?" Because I knew what she was going back into. But I was asking the bishop I was with, because I didn't know if that would freak people out. I didn't know where it was. He goes, "Yes." So we prayed for her. And by the end, she did have her prayer language. So she got saved. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she got a prayer language to be equipped to go back to live in an environment where they were going to tell her the only hope of you not having a miserable, horrible life is to worship evil spirits. She went home with weapons to make a difference in her life. Not just healed, not just able to have a child. I don't know what the Lord will do for her. But she went back with weapons. She went back with a whole new life. You know, and I continue to pray for her that she gets plugged in and somewhere where she can grow and understand how to use those weapons. It was transformational. I had another lady that I prayed for who knew enough English that I could talk to her directly, which is really an exciting time because it's much easier. I'm just saying, English communication to communication is much easier. But she had a number of things wrong in her body. And so we prayed for them, and lots of things went away, and we literally chased the pain out her feet and all. But there was this one place, she said it felt like a fist twisting in the middle of her back that wouldn't go away. And we prayed. And then the Holy Spirit just finally got that fire in me of, all right, I'm sick of this. I'm over it. There is no reason that pain should be left. There's just no reason. And I went and looked at her because she was standing up by that time. I looked at her. I said, "You pray." I don't know where that came from. You know, it wasn't in the natural. It was obviously the Holy Spirit. But I was sick of it. I mean, I had it up to here. I'm like, "You pray." And she started praying. She prayed over and over. I'm not sure exactly what she was praying, but prayed for a little bit. And then her eyes got wide, and she went, "It's gone." It was gone. And I looked at her, I said, "You did that." Because a lot of what they say is, someone's cursed me, someone's against me. It's all these things are coming at them as if they can do nothing about it.
Amen.
And so I explained to her. I said, "You pray next time that happens. You can do that." And she went away equipped for what was going to, you know what was going to come back. You know what was going to try and fool her and say all of this. But she had prayed for herself, and it went away. And she had experienced that personally with no doubt at all. So there were, I mean, there are several other things. I'd love to tell you all of them. But the thing is, I just know that it's not just healing that we prayed for, nor is that what we should be going after here. At Pentecost, when they preached, people heard the good news. And I told you before we went, it was about encounters with Jesus. Those people had encounters with Jesus. I'm excited about the thousands of people we saw healed. But I'm even more excited about what God is doing in their lives, the way he was equipping them, the way it was transformed. Because it's not about them just being healed. It's about them encountering Jesus, their life being transformed, multiplying, going out. There was one lady that... long story, but anyway, I prayed for her, and she was a prayer warrior. And I said, okay. I happened to have two little tins of anointing oil because I'd found one on my seat on the bus, and I don't know where it came from. But so I had two of them. And I was thinking, I think I'm supposed to give this to her. I asked my translator, said, would you tell her I will give her this anointing oil if she will promise to pray for every person she knows that is sick? And to give them something is just an amazing honor to them. It's exciting. So we translated, and she went, yes, yes, I will. And I gave it to her. And I saw her later in the conference, and she's like, oh, there's my friend. There's my friend. She goes, I'm praying for them. So once again, there was another lady that was equipped. So we saw tons of healings, got to pray for a little baby that I believe was healed, but I didn't have a translator, and we didn't know if the malaria was gone, but I was holding the baby, who is hot and very limp. Most babies don't let me hold them. They're like, ooh, white person with glasses. I don't know what that means. But she had let me hold her, and she was warm and hot. So I just kept praying and praying until she didn't feel hot anymore, and she was raising her head, and she was alert. So I'm just claiming that she was healed of that malaria. You know, things like that that were fun and exciting. But I'm just excited that God, just knowing God has done so much more than heal people, but he's taken just that we were willing to go, share the good news, and I really think it impacted and changed people's lives.
Yikes. Peace of the Lord be with you. This is one of those times I wish we could go on for another hour.
Yeah,
I
know.
Sure, all of these are on.